welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy in Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send the much needed fundage to keep free speech alive. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in the debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. We have the Book of the Week still going on until January 22nd, where you can donate $100 or more and get your name in the drawing for a book from John Stadtmiller's library. This week is America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations by William J. Federer. And also, if you want to donate $250, you can be, if I understand correctly, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but for $250, you can be in the Book of the Week drawing and be in the drawing for the Rebel Madman Rouser Rebel Flag quilt. An excellent quilt of the Rebel Flag. And if you go to the RBN homepage, you can see this advertisement. There's a cute little doggy on there, and I don't think the doggy comes with the quilt. What a shame. But you will at least get the quilt. For every $250 you donate, you'll be in the Book of the Month and the Rebel Madman Rouser, Rebel Rouser, Rebel Flag quilt. An excellent opportunity to donate to the station and to get some goodies. I think you're going to also get some bumper stickers and whatnot along with that quilt. So please call. Oh, the quilt is Gaddy's, and the quilt will be custom made for the winner. Mike is sending in the text. So please get your name in, get your money in, and let's keep this going. This is your Wednesday night broadcast, spiritual health and wellness. And I have a sermon clip from Pastor Anderson on interpreting the Bible, reading the Bible as one of your New Year's resolution, and allowing the Holy Spirit, if you're a born-again believer, to help you interpret that. Let's roll that sermon clip, and I'll be back on the other side with commentary going through the first break, then we'll take callers.
Man, the title of my sermon tonight is Guided Into All Truth. Guided Into All Truth. There are so many people in this world who are misguided, people who have so many wrong beliefs and wrong views, and it just blows your mind sometimes that the strange ideas that people follow and the foolish teachings and the false religions and false prophets that people get sucked in by. How do we make sure that we actually believe the truth and that we are actually following something that is right and true? Well, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Ghost's ministry is to guide us into all truth. The reason why we as Christians have been given the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. First, I want to show you here in chapter 16 at the beginning in verse number 1, how misguided some people can be. The Bible reads, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you," watch this, "will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." The Bible is saying, look, people can be so mixed up, so messed up, that they would think that killing a follower of Jesus Christ is actually doing God's service. They think that they're actually serving God by doing that. And of course, we see that in the Bible with the Jews wanting to kill Christians. There are today Muslims who want to kill all kinds of people and blow themselves up in the name of Allah and everything. And they claim that they're doing God's service. And many of them believe that they're doing God's service. The Bible says they believe that. But yet they are so wrong. Why is it that we're right and they're wrong? Why is it that we believe the truth? How is it that we, many of us from very different backgrounds and very diverse histories, have all come together to the same place? And it's not just us, my friend. It's Christians all over the world who believe the same basic doctrines that we believe about Jesus Christ and about salvation, about the Word of God. We have been guided to this point in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you would, go back to John chapter 14, and let's see how this works in the Bible. John chapter 14. Look what the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, well, let's start in verse 25. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, watch this, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So the Holy Spirit's job is to teach us as believers all things. When we go to read the Bible on our own as saved Christians, it's not independent studies. It's not a self-study, self-taught program, but rather we are to rely on the Holy Spirit as our teacher. Without the Holy Spirit as our teacher, it is impossible for us to understand the Bible, which is why you'll run into people who say, oh, I've read the Bible, I know what the Bible says, and yet they believe all these wrong and stupid and foolish and incorrect things. Oh, when I was in prison, I read the Bible several times, and yet they don't know what they're talking about. Why? Because they're not saved. You have to have the Holy Spirit as your teacher in order to understand the Bible. Someone could read the Bible every single day, and if they're not saved, if they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if they've not been indwelled by the Holy Spirit, that person will just be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, right? They're just going to just be spinning their wheels. And I think it's important to talk about this particular idea, especially as we're on the eve of the new year, because I hope that one of your biggest goals for the new year is to read your Bible cover to cover in the new year. That should be your number one New Year's resolution, your number one goal. And let me say this, I've been a Christian a long time. I grew up in a Christian home from birth, and I got saved as a six-year-old boy, and I've been around church, I've been around Christians, I've been in lots of different kinds of Christians and Christian institutions. And let me tell you something, I would estimate that more than 99% of Christians who are truly saved have not read the Bible cover to cover. And it's probably more like 99.9% that have not read the Bible cover to cover. That's my personal experience. You know, you want a source for that? I don't have one, okay? I'm just making that up. But it's based on just a lifetime of talking to people and experiencing church and Christianity. And, you know, the vast majority of people just don't read the Bible cover to cover. I mean, you'll talk to people who've been saved for 20, 25, 30 years that haven't read the Bible cover to cover. And this is a shame. And then people get mad at biblical preaching. They get mad at a man of God getting up and telling the truth. Why? Because they don't even know what the Bible says. And then they want to call you out for being wrong. They don't even know what the book says. They haven't even read it a single time. And look, my friend, reading the Bible a single time is a start. That's just the beginning. That's just scratching the surface. If you haven't even read it once, I mean, you need to read it once to even just get to first base when it comes to studying the Bible. I remember I was talking to a guy one time at my work, and I was admonishing him, hey, you know, you should read the Bible cover to cover. And he said, oh, I don't have time for that. There's no way. Because he said, and this guy was a zealous Christian, at least in his own mind. And he said, oh, I don't have time for that because he said, you know, I've got this devotional I'm doing over here. I'm working my way through this Prayer of Jabez book over here. I got the Daily Bread over here. I'm going to this Bible study over here. I'm going to this service over here. I don't have time to read the Bible cover to cover. I said, look, man, it's literally going to take you 15 to 20 minutes a day. And don't you think that that would be more important than the Prayer of Jabez or whatever Christian book that you picked off the shelf, just getting a cover-to-cover read-through? I mean, the guy was a real nice guy, but he just didn't get it. It was just going over his head. Friend, read the Bible cover-to-cover. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people have various New Year's resolutions. I don't know what you've got in your heart today about all the weight loss or whatever, that you're going to join the gym or whatever you're going to do in the coming year. But I'll tell you this right now, you know, I've been saved for a long time. I've obviously read the Bible a lot, many, many, many times. But yet, even at this stage in my life, having been saved for 36 years or so, and having pastored a church for 18 years, and having read the Bible for hours a day for I don't know how long, you know, my biggest goals for the new year actually have to do with Bible reading. Okay, so if I need to read my Bible, you need to read your Bible too. It doesn't matter If you've read it 20 times, 50 times, read it again. And if you've read it zero times, man, this is the year that you need to read it cover to cover. And I'm not exaggerating when I say it takes 15 to 20 minutes a day. Okay. There are all kinds of charts and programs. Just mathematically, it boils down to less than 4 chapters a day. And I'm not a speed reader. I don't do speed reading. I read at a pretty normal pace. In fact, I might even read a little bit slower than you do. I'm not one of these people that just flies through things. And yet, I can get it done in like 20 minutes, just the once a year deal. And that's a great place to start for 2024. But what does that have to do with the sermon tonight? Well, here's what it has to do with the sermon tonight. Wouldn't it be a shame to do a whole bunch of Bible reading and not understand what you're reading, not get a lot out of it? Step one is obviously being saved. If you're not saved, you literally can't understand the Bible. You have to have someone else explain to you the gospel, and you can piggyback off their Holy Spirit to get saved. And then after that, now you got the Holy Spirit. Now you can understand the Bible. But let me say this. Not only am I just saved, but I also, when I approach the Bible, I ask God to teach me the Bible. I'm constantly praying to God and saying, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm constantly going to God and saying, God, I don't understand this passage. Please reveal this to me. Show me the truth. Help me to understand. And then it's amazing how as I'm reading the Bible and I'm praying those kind of prayers, God shows me the truth and God reveals truth to me. And then I'm able to get up as a pastor and impart that truth unto other people. But of course, you as a believer need to be getting truth on your own from the Bible, just you and the Holy Spirit. And so I would just encourage you, if you have a plan to read through the Bible cover to cover this year, let me just add one thing to your plan. How about this year, when you pick up your Bible and go to read it, you start by just praying and asking God to teach you, asking the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, so that if you're going to spend that time, you can get the most out of it by inviting God to help you understand and to show you truth. I run into people all over the world that I've never had any contact with. We haven't run in the same circles whatsoever, but we have the same Bible and the same Holy Spirit. And it's amazing how we're just in tune. You know, we start talking scripture, we start talking doctrine, and boom, there's just a certain synchronization that's there from having the same Bible, same Holy Spirit, same teacher. You know, it becomes apparent that you're talking to a saved person. And so the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will teach us in verse 26. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So he'll teach you the Bible, and then he'll also remind you of scripture when you need it. So you'll be in a situation, boom, the Bible verse that you need pops into your mind, right? That's the Holy Spirit bringing that verse into your remembrance. So flip over to chapter 16, and I just want to encourage you again, read the Bible cover to cover in 2024. I don't care how many times, if you've read it zero times, then you're especially who I'm talking to. But if you've already read it one time, you must read it again. Don't just say, well, I'm done. On to the next thing. No, there is no next thing. I remember the first time I finished reading the Bible cover to cover. I was 17 years old, I believe. I don't remember if I started or finished when I was 17. I want to say I finished when I was 17. And I remember feeling a little sad when I first finished the Bible cover to cover, because I was sort of like, you know, Alexander the Great weeping because there were no more worlds to conquer. And I kind of just thought to myself, you know, man, I've found so many new, exciting things and so many great stories that I'd never heard in any church, that I'd never heard from any pulpit. And I just thought, wow, there were so many cool new things, and I'm never going to see anything for the first time ever again. I remember feeling that way. But then what did I do? I just started reading it the second time. And as I started going through it the second time, I started being like, wait a minute, I don't remember this part, you know. And it turned out there was all kinds of new stuff, even the second time and even the third time. And so don't underestimate the ability of the Holy Spirit to bring new illumination and new teachings to you every time you read the Bible. It's a living, breathing book here. And every time we read it, God's going to show us something different. God's going to teach us something different. I mean, even the most basic passage that you've read so many times, Genesis chapter 1 or John chapter 1, or, you know, it always blows my mind how I continue to learn new things from these passages that I've just heard hundreds of times. You've heard so many sermons. You've read it so many times. And then I'll preach a sermon. Somebody will walk up to me and point out something that I've never heard, never thought of. The Bible's deep. And so whether you've read it zero times, one time, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times, read the Bible again in 2024 and pray and ask God to show you truth from the Bible. I think it's easy for Christians sometimes who've been in church a long time to just feel like they already know it all. Or how about children who grew up in a Christian home? Like, oh man, I was raised on this stuff and I've sat under Pastor Anderson's preaching for the last 10 years and I already know what the Bible says, but you don't know everything. I remember having this thought when I was in my early 20s, thinking, you know, I'm still learning stuff from my Bible, but I feel like there aren't really going to be any more like really big groundbreaking revelations at this point. I feel like I've pretty much got all the big stuff covered and figured out, you know, because there were, you know, the first few read-throughs of the Bible, there were some things that kind of jarred me and shocked me and changed my thinking on things. And I just kind of thought, you know, at this point, the rest of my life, as I read the Bible, I'm just going to be making little tweaks, little adjustments to things. But I don't know if there's really going to be anything really super earth-shattering or big. And the funny thing is that at that point, I still thought Israel were God's chosen people today. So it goes to show you I had a long way to go of reading and studying the Bible. In fact, I'd read the Bible 24 times, and I still thought that, if you can imagine that. I know I'm stupid, but I keep reading. But I'm telling you, you know, you got to keep reading. You got to keep studying. You don't know what you don't know. It says, oh, I already know what the Bible says. You don't know what it is that you don't know. If you knew what it was, then you would not know it. Just the very nature of not knowing something is that you don't know what that thing is that you don't know. And so you're like, well, there's nothing in the Bible I don't know. Well, how do you know? You wouldn't know if it was. And so you got to keep reading the Bible to find that thing that you don't know. And I guarantee you. And look, I'm not talking about changing doctrine or being carried about with divers and strange doctrines. There are just a lot of things in the Bible that maybe you just haven't even thought about or haven't even applied. And I'm telling you, there's so much good stuff in there. And God has something special for you in 2024 in the Bible. And when it comes to reading the Bible, one of the things that I often think about is the manna that fell from heaven. Because the reason that God fed them with manna was that they would know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so the manna pictured the word of God. And they would get up every morning and they would gather the manna. And if you remember, they weren't supposed to gather extra one day and try to double up and then not gather the next day. They had to go out every day and get a little bit every day. They can't double up one day and then not do it, except for, of course, the Sabbath day. They were not supposed to go out, and then God would give them double, etc. But in general, if they did not get up early and go get the manna, then let's say they went out there at 11 or noon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's gone. When the sun came up and the sun was hot, the stuff would just kind of melt away and it was gone. So you had to get it while it was there. And then tomorrow there's a fresh batch and you got to get it when it's there. And I think about that a lot with the Bible because of the fact that there are certain things that are in the Bible for you that are going to be there on January 1st. They're not going to be there on January 2nd. Now, obviously the text is the same text. Don't get me wrong. As long as you have the King James, your Bible isn't going to keep changing, like these new versions keep changing. But I'm not saying that the text itself is changing, but I'm saying God kind of had something for you that day to teach you on January 1st. And he had something to teach you on January 2nd. And he has something to teach you on January 3rd. The Holy Spirit's got that lesson plan ready for you. And if you're not there, you're missing out. And you might think you're just going to catch it up later or something, but you know what? God's got something for you now. You're at a certain place in your life now. You have a certain frame of mind now. And when you approach the Bible, God's got what you need today. He's got what you need tomorrow. And so we need to understand that reading the Bible is not like just picking up any other book and reading it. It's not like just grabbing that fictional novel and just sitting down and reading it. Okay, because you don't have the author sitting next to you and explaining it to you and expounding it to you when you read a fictional novel, do you? Whereas when you read the Bible and you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit there, and he's actually there guiding you, teaching you, jogging your memory of things, bringing things to your mind. This is also part of why I do not recommend study Bibles. Okay, because this can distract you from what the Holy Spirit's trying to show you. You know, people will say, well, you know, you need to be taught by other great men of God and things. You know, here's what I liken it to. It's sort of like in marriage, there are times when my wife and I will interact with other people. Maybe we'll go out somewhere and we'll take the kids with us. Or maybe we'll go out and, you know, with relatives or friends or whatever, and we'll go to church and we're interacting with each other, but also with other people. But don't you think that my wife and I also need some time alone, just my wife and I together? Okay. And so here's the thing. When you have the study Bible, what you're basically doing is you're not spending time alone with God. You're bringing in this third party. You got the third wheel there. Every single time you go to read your Bible, you got somebody sitting there. Oh, let me tell you what it means. Like, shut up. I'm trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, buddy. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Let's hear what you have to say later. Right now, I want to hear from the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't want to be there every time you're reading the Bible. Let me tell you what that means. Let Pastor Anderson tell you what that means. Pastor Anderson, study Bible. I'll tell you what this means. You know, what's better is that you actually just quietly read the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Now, look, I want you to listen to what I have to say, too. You know, I come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, listen to preaching from me. Great. I hope that's going to help you learn and grow. But when you're with the Bible alone and the Holy Spirit, it should just be the two of you, without any other interruptions or people butting in, because you need that one-on-one time with the Lord, just reading your Bible and being taught by the Holy Ghost, not being taught by a human being. Being taught by a human being is great, but what's even better is to spend that time with the Lord where you're just reading the Bible. John chapter 16, the Bible says in verse number 13 of John 16, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Of course, the Holy Spirit is a person, right? Holy Spirit is God. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." And so the Holy Spirit's ministry is to illuminate the Word of God. He doesn't speak of himself, meaning that he doesn't just teach you things that are brand new from him, not from Jesus Christ. Rather, he takes of Christ's word, he takes of the Bible and shows it unto you and illuminates it for you and teaches you and guides you into all truth. And so that's why the Bible says, "He shall glorify me," verse 14, "for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Now flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible reads, I'll start reading while you get there. It says in verse number 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Now, let's stop and think about that verse for a minute. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? What the Bible's saying is that, you know, you don't really know what's going on inside my head or inside my heart, right? Only I really know what's going on inside my heart and inside of my head. And you are the only one who really knows exactly what's going on inside of your head and what your thought process is, right? And the Bible says here, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God, right? We can't, as it were, read God's mind. Okay, but the Holy Ghost, he does have the mind of God. He does know the mind of God, and he will reveal to you the meaning, the intent. He will actually guide you into all truth so that you don't misinterpret Scripture. Right? Just like I could say something and you could misinterpret what I said. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. That's not what I meant. Here's what was going through my mind. Here's what I actually meant. You know, you took that the wrong way. Because sometimes I might say something that could be taken a few different ways, and I know what I meant, but you might get the wrong idea. Well, here's the thing. There are things in the Bible that people will sometimes take the wrong way. They miss the point. They think that the Bible's saying something other than what it's actually saying. Well, the Holy Spirit of God, He knows exactly what that means and what is the right interpretation and what is the wrong interpretation. And so no human being has supreme knowledge of the mind of God. It's the Holy Ghost that knows what God meant, okay? And so it says in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So as saved Christians, because we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, now we do have access to the mind of God. We do have access to the original intent of the author. And God will explain to us in our hearts as we study the Bible what the Bible means. The things that are freely given to us of God, talking about the word of God, look at verse 13, "which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So the key to understanding the Bible is not necessarily getting a bunch of history books and trying to understand the culture of what life was like back during the Roman Empire or life in ancient Israel or something like that. You know, there's a lot of man's wisdom. There's a lot of scholarship about the Bible that could be interesting, and some of it could be informative, but really, that is so much less important and so much less a key to understanding than having the Holy Spirit illuminate Scripture to you. You know, hey, you might be able to know some trivia or some ideas about what history has to offer when it comes to the Bible, or, you know, you might know these little tidbits here and there that might help you in a few places. But honestly, that's nothing compared to the understanding you're going to get from actually having the Holy Spirit guiding you into all truth. Why? Because of the fact that the Word of God is not taught by man's wisdom, right? This is all the scholarship of academia and all of the things you could delve into, the archaeology, the history, the linguistics. And look, I'm not saying that those things have no profit, because obviously anything that you learn is typically going to come in handy at some point or maybe help you understand something. But first of all, we don't really know if all of those things that you're being taught from academia are even true. You know, as long as we just take history for granted, a lot of the stuff that you learn as history that you're taught as fact, you know, it might not have really even happened that way. You don't really know, do you? And when they tell you, oh, this is what the culture was like 2,000 years ago, they don't really have a lot to go on. It's a lot of speculation there, a lot of guessing, whereas the Holy Spirit's guidance is so much more powerful and so much more important to understanding the Bible. And so we speak the word of God, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, right?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This Wednesday night broadcast of In Plain Sight on Republic Broadcasting Network. We got a couple of callers in the queue holding. I will get to your calls very quickly. So to discern the Bible, even reading it cover to cover, you have to be born again and have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And there are only two types of people, those who believe and those who do not believe. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's only two categories, those that believe and those that do not believe on the only begotten Son of God. Analyzing the sermon clip quickly, taking in the word of God, he compared it to gathering manna in the days of Israel when they were in the wilderness wandering after the Egyptian captivity. They gathered manna daily in portioned amounts. So the word of God must be taken in portioned amounts. For new believers, it's the milk. It's the milk and the remedial portions. For seasoned believers, it's like a great filet mignon followed up by a wonderful glass of scotch. You don't want to overdo it on that, right? If you're a seasoned believer, you're taking in the finer things, the more complicated things of the Word of God revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, and it is like fine dining. You don't want to overdo it. You want to take your portions in daily, right? And to study the Bible, the key to studying it is comparing scripture to scripture. As the speaker mentioned, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you what other scripture has already revealed. There's no new revelations outside of scripture in this current age. So, you know, for example, James 2 and Romans 4 must be taken in context and read together. Faith without works is dead. And in Romans 4, you see that you don't work for salvation. You believe, and it's accounted unto you to righteousness. And Abraham is given as an example. So, again, Scripture must be compared with Scripture when you want to do a thorough study of the Bible. Reference Bibles. These can be helpful to get you into what's going on historically and archaeologically, but you can't use them as an end all and begin all. Reference Bibles, the references can be skewed to certain people's belief systems. For example, the Scofield Bible is not a translation, it's merely a reference on the King James. And Scofield was highly influenced by the Zionism of his day in the late 19th century, early 20th century. And I have a Scofield Bible right here. It's normally a King James translation from the received text. And Scofield didn't do his own translation. He merely commented on the prevailing King James translation of the time. And he inserted his dispensational theories into the comments of that translation. John Darby, on the other hand, a Britishman who went to the Irish to convert them in the early 1800s, he did his own translation. Darby did a translation of the New Testament. It meshed quite nicely with the King James New Testament. So his translation was pretty much solid. But again, Darby's dispensationalism shown through his commentary, just as Scofield did. And again, this was coming at a time when Theodor Herzl and the World Jewish Congress were pushing Zionism to try to get a state for Israel, to try to get the land of Palestine back to Israel. And so these commentators were influenced by this social phenomenon that was going on at the time of Zionism in the globe in the early 20th century. So those are all things to keep in mind. John Darby of the Plymouth Brethren. So before we get on to more content, let's go to the call screen. I want to get our callers in. We got Reb and Daryl in California. Let's go to Reb in Colorado first. Reb, welcome to the show. Bubba Scout, what's on your mind?
This is Bubba Scout Reb from Pentagon First Team. The only topic we talk about is their God is a God of war, the Israel people, the white race. That's what started it. We don't believe anything less. Because why would they have a book that tells you about the people that were on the earth before whitey? Because obviously, white race was only around 6,000 years. The other ones were thousands of years before, even a million years for the other races, the dark race. So what's the point of trying to mistranslate and make everybody the same? There's no reason to do that. But we know why they did it. It's because they were heathens and they were the Roman Empire. Everything that comes out of them, including the Yids, is a disaster. And that's why I grew up in white race boy America. You never saw it. You had to be there. You could read about it. You could have other people tell you about it. Like Bub and Scout, they never grew up in white race boy America. But they read about it and put two and two together when we got attacked by the murderers, the ball race in it, and the stinking 911 system. These are all demonic terms, 911, 988, 501-3C3. Look it up. This is all marks of Satan, and the people have taken it, and they're not from the called ones. That's what Israel means. It means the called ones. It has nothing to do with the Yids or any of the Khazaria, that's what they used to call the cat ones from Kazakhstan. This is a whole other disease set up by the damn Jesuits of the Roman Empire. The only ones we like, somebody used to say to me, "You're a Hun," or say the word Hun. And I was offended. I said, "Wait a second." I was a kid back in the 50s. I thought one spouse called the other Hun. I said, "No, no, it's not that. It's H-U-N, the people who barbaric and attacked the Roman Empire." Oh, okay, well, that was swell. Yeah. I like the word Kraut better. This was white race boy America. It was where you didn't have to deal with you. If you want to comment on why that's bad, you're welcome to tell us why white race boy America was no good. Explain that.
Let me just comment on what you've said so far. So if we go with the biblical chronology, the biblical history, which I hold to. So after the flood, you only had Noah and his three sons, and they populated the Middle East, and they were all of one race, or ethnicity is a better term, and they were all of one language, and they would be white. And so as the people spread throughout the globe, the descendants of Ham went to the equator, and they became the dark-skinned ethnicities. The descendants of Shem went to the oriental areas and the Middle Eastern areas, and the descendants of Japheth became the white Europeans. So in the beginning, after the flood, everyone was white, as you would say. But as they dispersed, the people of the equator became darker skinned. They were darker not only because of the environment, you know, to survive the harsh heat of the sun, but also they were spiritually darkened in that they were engaging in all of the very crude paganistic, you know, human sacrifice rituals that the Europeans found much later. So that's the comment I would have on that.
Yeah, but the flood didn't affect everyone in the world. It was centralized to the white race in this cradle of civilization near Iran, the Euphrates, the Tigris. That's what we found from archaeologists. This wasn't a worldwide thing, and there were other races around the world that didn't get affected by this, and they were already here.
Well,
we don't believe what you're saying is that people got darker. Look, the civilization that crossed 12,000 years across the ice floe from the Bering Sea, or across, they said there was an ice flow, and they moved south. The Eskimos are darker than they are. The ones that moved, these were, like, I guess they mixed with other race, the Negro races, but before that, they were, like, Oriental, but they as they moved south, they were lighter. The Aztecs were lighter than the, what they call the Athabascans, and the, what is the other one, Aleuts. Those people
what the Bible says, Reb, the Apostle Peter says that only eight people survived the flood. That would be Noah.
That was for the white race. That was flood.
Hold on. So Peter says that only Noah, his three sons and his three sons' wives, only eight people survived the flood. So all of the ethnicities of humanity come from Noah's sons, if you want to believe the Bible.
Fan out around the world. That was what happened. We believe it happened where they said, "Hey, look, this boat was on top of a mountain in Turkey. It could have been, we don't know what it was. They're jerks." But the point is, that's the area that got flooded. It didn't flood everyone on Earth, and then they were gone, and then races appeared again. That's not what happened. But you believe that, well, the Japs, they went to Japan and became Japs. No, that's not what we believe at all. There was already, you know, like two other main race groups around the world, and some of them were, like, the Australian Aboriginals don't look, they're dark as black as coal, but they don't look like the ones in Africa. So there are variations on these other races, but they were not.
I choose to believe what the Bible teaches, and that's what it teaches, is that all the, what you say races, or the Bible terms it as ethnicities, came from Noah's three sons. and they were segregated at the dispersion of Babylon in Genesis 11. But hey, we'll have to agree to disagree. I got another caller, Reb. Give me a final thought. What's your final thought?
Well, Scout Reb believes we're going to have purity by killing the enemies that took over America. That's the only topic. We're not here to debate which race is better. But I grew up in white race, boy, America. They subverted it and destroyed it. If you say the Yids did it. And another thing, we heard that the word, the J word, wasn't even used till 1775. There was no such word as the JEWs until 1775. Go figure that out. But they said right. Before that, they were they were the Edomites. They weren't even part of the called ones, the white race. And so they're attacking us because we're white. When the white boy says something, hey, you can't say that. If a white boy says, you know, this country was created of and for the white race. And there was a white boy. And even Bubba, it was for the white boy. She's not a white boy. She's a double-edged chromosome female. Yeah, and they didn't all get to vote because they wanted to keep it a certain way. All right, they were selfish. Yeah. But we don't care. That was of importance. And I live in white race, boy, America, and we didn't get attacked by these 911 satanic bastards and this 501c3, which tells us they can't divulge anything. They're restricted, what they call. They're restricted from reporting things that might help the white race. That's what they call non-disclosure.
Well, Rev, I'm going to agree with you that the Yids are trying to genocide the white people currently, and that's a thing. White genocide is a thing. People of white European descent. Let's move on. We have Daryl and Mike. And okay. We got Mike in Kentucky. Let's skip the break.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you, Mike.
Great. So a lot of Christians have the same problem I think the scientific community has. They'll look at the story like Noah's flood, and they'll say, that just can't be, we can't take that for what it says. Instead of looking for how it could be true. Science has known and observed plenty of mechanisms to allow for the flood story to be true and to be global. But they want to ignore that. They want to ignore how high doses of cosmic radiation can actually affect the carbon dating. They've shown that. Temperature, extreme temperatures can affect carbon dating. I think they goofed up the Shroud of Turin and took a part of it that was rewoven. And so their carbon dating is off because the sample that they had was part of the reweave that had a younger piece of linen in it. But when it comes to the flood, for instance, modern cosmology or whatever you want to call it, they know that there's a lot more of these rogue brown and red dwarf magnetostars flying around. They keep discovering them. So they also know that things like cosmic rays affect the magma chambers of the Earth. And so you look at things like giant two-foot winged flying dragonfly-like predator insects that are two-foot wide. They can't exist in today's atmosphere. Pterodactyls can't fly in today's atmosphere. You look at the bone density of flying mammals and birds and stuff. You have to have about 30 pounds per square inch of atmospheric pressure at whatever sea level used to be, and they know sea level has risen radically over the last 7,000 years. There's evidence that the island of Sri Lanka pulled away from India, and there was, for a time, they tried to maintain a stone bridge. The carbon dating on that stone bridge says it was about 5,000 years old, but the sand is 7,000 years old or something like that. So they've also found these cities that are buried under the ocean, you know. And I can't remember the name of the one, the big famous one that's on the east coast or west coast of India that they've confirmed, you know, as per legend, is maybe up to 300 feet below sea level. They found structures built by humans 300 to 900 feet below sea level. They found sandy beaches 1,000 miles off the current shores. What I think the Bible points toward or hints at is that our globe was much, much smaller. And when you double the atmospheric pressure of the atmosphere, it's going to have twice the suspended oxygen and or dissolved oxygen and twice the amount of humidity. Or you have got a hyperbaric, hyper-humid, almost Garden of Eden situation. So people were protected from cosmic rays, so they didn't have the genetic damage. They had a longer lifespan. I think a lot of people had to live at higher altitude and in order to escape some of the, you know, the creatures that were able to live at lower altitude. Have you seen the Ica stones from the Ica people, the burial stones?
Yeah,
Bill Collins,
I've seen those.
Genesis made fun of that in a video called Land of Confusion, where they had Ronald Reagan riding on top of a triceratops. There are Ica stones that show people riding on dinosaurs that they couldn't have known what they looked like. Now, some of those may be hoaxes to be sold, but fossilized dinosaur skin was not even found until the late 1990s, I think. They found some fossilized dinosaur skin of maybe a stegosaurus or something. And it has circles within circles on the scales. And those dang Ica stones depict the circles on the sides of some of these dinosaurs with people riding on them. There's a fairly well-known one that shows a guy smoking a pipe, a peace pipe-like pipe, riding on the back of a triceratops. Well, that's what Phil Collins and Land of Confusion was making fun of, the conservative right and their biblical.
I remember that.
Yeah. And now, you know, Phil Collins and Genesis just did a farewell tour where they featured that song, too. Anyway, it's still going on. The demoralization of Christians is still happening.
I agree that the pre-flood civilization, the atmosphere must have been different. You look at the lifespans recorded in the Bible. Noah lived into his 900s, but his
modern
three sons.
Medical science knows that hyperbaric chambers can heal people. We had a Sagamore disaster in West Virginia where a freak January lightning storm happened after they had been gone for 3 weeks out of that mine, and the gas built up, and a freak lightning storm in January when it came back to work hit a pipe that carried the spark all the way down into that cave, and there was one guy that was able to make it to the safety chamber, and it took him days to get to him. He was barely alive. They took him over to Pennsylvania, put him in a hyperbaric chamber, and it healed him up. So,
you remember baby Jessica? Do you remember baby Jessica that was trapped in the well?
I don't really remember the details on that, but...
Well, baby Jessica, a toddler, was trapped in a well in Texas in the 1980s, the late 80s. And they put her in a hyperbaric chamber. I think the point here is that the atmosphere was much different before the flood. You had longer lifespans. Noah lived to be into his 900s, but Noah's
the plants were healthier. I think the trees were gigantic. So we don't even know. When I started reading the Bible, it was called shittim wood, and the kids made fun of it. But now everybody thinks it was cedar trees that he made the ark out of. But we don't know how big those trees were. And there's nothing that says that he had to take adult animals.
From one stream to another,
we have water everywhere. We have different types of minnows that the environmental people want to protect from one stream to another. They've adapted since the flood to different environments. So he didn't have to take the diversity of species that exist today onto the ark. He didn't have to go collect them. They came to him.
The point that I wanted to make was that Noah's sons only lived into their 600s, and Noah lived to be over 900. Something drastically happened with the atmosphere that decreased, you know, the lifespan after the flood. And I don't believe in dinosaurs like the Jurassic Park version or even the, you know, historical version of dinosaurs, they were probably just very large lizards. You know, and Job speaks about, the book of Job speaks about the behemoth and the leviathan, the sea creature, leviathan that breathed fire. Those were probably where we get the legends of dragons, you know, in the Dark Ages. So, you know, whatever happened before the flood, it was a different environment where these reptiles were allowed to grow extremely big. And that's probably where they're getting the dinosaur fossil record. In a hyperbaric chamber.
Expand on this quite a bit, but there's good evidence that the flood could happen as it was described, and that the world was different. A mist came up and watered everything. You didn't have rain. There was no rainbow. What does that tell you? Diffused light didn't happen like it does today. I think you had to go to a very high altitude to see the dang stars that we can see today at, you know, sea level.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're at the end of the show. Appreciate it, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. So, a much different world in the pre-flood biblical description where lifespans drastically declined after the flood by hundreds of years. And you get this fossil records of large reptiles existing. It was a fascinating and interesting world. This will conclude Spiritual Health and Wellness. Please tune in tomorrow night for the William and Jeremy Show on In Plain Sight.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.